Let's wrap up the comment that we had yesterday about Divrei Torah protecting someone from the Malach HaMavos. So yesterday we just ended off with mentioning the Marsha quotes two different Gemaras. The Marsha quotes the Gemara in, does he give the Amara Makamas there? I don't even remember. He says, Hu adinami, that the Gemara could have brought a raya not just from the Uvda that we have on Daf, right, on Daf Yud, where this, who's the one who was saved from the Malach HaMavos on Daf Yud? Who was that again? I forgot. Rav Chisda? I forgot already. Yeah, it's Rav Chisda. Right, it says over there, Kihad Rav Chisda, Yosef Agaris, Bevei Rav. Right, so Rav Chisda was sitting and learning in Rav's yeshiva, and the Malach HaMavos couldn't kill him, so the Malach HaMavos came up with an Eitzah, and he sat down on the tree. Tree broke, stopped learning, boom, killed him. Right, so we mentioned also that there's the Gemara in Shabbos that Rabbi Kiva Eger sends you to, and the Marsha sends you to. The Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Lamed Amud Beis. So if you got a chance to see, you guys get a chance to see that Gemara inside? All right, I'll take that as a no. So the Gemara inside, check it out when you have some time. The Gemara starts on Lamed Amud Aleph, goes over to Lamed Amud Beis. I think I noted that on Mar Makomos. So the Gemara goes from Lamed Amud Aleph to Lamed Amud Beis, and then the Gemara discusses the whole Maisa with David HaMelech and how David HaMelech was distraught that he couldn't build the Beis HaMikdash, and the Kaddish Baruch Hu said, don't worry, the Torah that you learn is more meaningful to me than all the Karbanos that Shlomo Melech is going to bring. And also talks about the fact that he found out that he was going to die, and we mentioned that Sudas Malav HaMelech is known as Sudas David HaMelech, because David HaMelech used to make a Suda every Motzei Shabbos, they didn't die. So, BMP barbecue, there you go. Fleshik Malav HaMelech, that's the way to go.
This time it's real meat.
Oh, I don't know what happened last time, so I don't want to know. But what? Grilled it for a couple of seconds. Give it that barbecue flavor. Okay. Anyway, that's where the Inyan of Malav Malka comes from, according to some. And then there's another Gemara, the Gemara with Rabba Bar Nachmeni, that's mentioned in the Gemara in Bava Metzi. I don't have a Bava Metzi on me. Did you guys at least get a chance to see that Gemara? No. So you really should see that Gemara. It's one of the more interesting stories that comes up. Don't get one now, but basically it talks about Rabba Bar Nachmeni was a wanted man in every sense of the word. Rabba Bar Nachmeni was wanted by the government. I think it was the Roman government was out to get him because he was stealing people from paying taxes. How so? Because the people there was a head tax that they would collect at certain times of the year. Problem is they would come around during the month of, which months were it? I think it was the month of Elul and the month of Nisan. And twice a year, nobody would ever be around to pay their taxes. They would all be gone. Where would they be? What? They'd be by the Beis HaMikdash? No. The Beis HaMikdash was already destroyed. By the Rebbe. What do they call that? There's a term for that. No, there's a term called Yarchi Kala. They'd be by the Yarchi Kala. You never heard of that?
Like an NCSY program.
That's true. So the Gemara stole the name from the NCSY program, of Yarchi Kala, which means that the months that they would go to learn, there was 2 months a year that all the Baal Batim would go to sit and learn for a month. One, you know, once in, I think it was Elul, not Tishrei, I think it was Elul. And they would go sit and learn during the month of Elul, and they would go sit and learn during the month of Nisan, and that would be their major learning for the year. So they were all going to hear Shir by Rabbi Bar Nachmeni. He was the Rosh Yeshiva of the yeshiva that produced the likes of Abai and Rava, etc. So he would be the Magid Shir. So they saw the tax collectors complained, and they said, "Where's everybody going?" And they say they're going to hear Shir by Rabbi Bar Nachmeni. So they sent somebody out to basically lock this guy up so everybody would be around to pay their taxes. So they didn't chop the idea that if he wasn't there to give the shir, somebody else would just give him the shir, like Rav Yosef, saying when mentioned yesterday, when Rabba was nifter, Rav Yosef took over as a Rosh Yeshiva. So anyway, they sent the guy after him. There's a whole maisa how he showed up at the same inn that Rabba was staying at, and he drank. You guys know what zugos are? You ever learn Rav Yipsachim? They talk a lot about zugos there. All right, whatever. So I'm not going to get into it now. But he drank zugos, and then he was going to die. He gave him a third one. He saved him. And then he figured out that that's who he was. So Rabbi Bar Nachmeni ran into the fields, into the forest, and he was hiding out in the forest. Meanwhile, back in Shemayim, there was a machlokis going on in the Masifta Derekia. So the Gemara says that there was a machlokis by the Masifta Derekia. They say, we know the halacha is by tzaras, right? What's the din? If you have a baharis, right? Anybody learn Daf Yomi? So if you did learn Daf Yomi, so they're finishing up Maseches Shavuos, I think this Sunday is the last day of Shavuos. So 2 months ago, or a month and a half ago, they were discussing all the dinim of Baharis and the different types of tumas tzaras that exists in the different colors and whatever. It's a very difficult technical gemaras that go on in the first parak of Masechet Shavuos. I don't know if anybody learned. You know, did you guys make a siyum on Shavuos last year? No. Okay, I made my shir do those parakim. Because I said, if you don't do it now, when somebody's forcing you to, you're never going to do it. So I made them do those. The first two parakim were a lot of Tum and Tara related stuff, and a lot of Kachim related stuff also. So it happens to be good stuff to learn. Anyway, so there's a discussion there. I'm sure this, you know, from Parshas Tazria, that if you have a Baharis, so what's one of the best simanim that it's definitely Tzaras? Right? What does the Psukim say? What's the best way to tell? Good, right? If the hair inside the Baharis is white. So if the hair inside the Baharis turns white after the Baharis happens, so then it's definitely Tzaras. If the hair turns white first, and then the Baharis forms around it, so then it's not. What about if it's a Suffolk? That's a Machlokas. Who's the Machlokas between? So the Gemara says it was a Machlokas between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Masifta Derekiah. They're having a big fight about this. Kadosh Baruch Hu said the Suffolk, whether or not the white hair preceded the Baharis, or vice versa. So he said that Suffolk is Tahor, and the Masifta Derekiah says the Suffolk is Tummy. And they were arguing, whatever, and they said, who's going to Paskin Mishaila? So they said, well, who's the biggest Bucky in Taurus? So they said, Rabbah. Rabbah's the biggest Bucky in Taurus. They quoted a different statement that Rabbah made, that when it comes to Taurus, I'm the man. You know, I'm the biggest Bucky in Taurus. So they said, all right, get him up here. So they said, all right. So they send the Malcham Avos down, bring Rabbah Bar Nachmani to the Masifta Derekiah, and he was hiding in the forest at the time, you know, conveniently. So he was hiding in the forest. He was sitting and learning, and he didn't know what to do. So Malcham Avos didn't know what to do because he couldn't kill him. So I forgot exactly the details of the rest of the Maisa. That's why I guess I should have do my own Maram Kamos also. But I haven't seen the Gemara in a while. But basically, he heard something behind him. Malcham Avos made some noise behind him. I think that he thought that that was the Roman guy coming to chase him down. So he ran, and he fell. And when he fell, I might be a little off on the details here. When he fell, he stopped learning for a second. The Malcham Avos was able to chop him. And he said, as he was dying, he said, Tahor, Tahor. So there's a note came down from, a bas kol came down from Shemayim and said, you know, Ashrecha, Rabbah Bar Nachmani, that you left this world with two taros. Your body was Torah and your neshama was Tahora, and you're good to go. So that was symbolic of the Tahor Tahor. But also, what do you see? That Rabbah Bar Nachmani paskins like who? Paskins like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Paskins that the halacha is, if it's a suffix, whether the Baharis formed first, or the hair turned white first, so we paskin that it's Tahor. Okay, so that should settle it, no? But if you look in the Rambam, if you check out the Maram Kolmos, take a look in the Rambam. The Rambam actually paskins, and this is what I said yesterday, it's an interesting machloka between the Rambam and God himself, right? The Rambam paskins that if you have a suffix, so we say that it is Tahor, I believe. That's the Rambam in Hilchos Tumas Tzara'as. Right? That's the the Maram Akam on the Rambam in Hilchos Tzara'as is Perek Beis Halachates, and he paskins that the Suffolk is Tame. Interestingly, he doesn't paskin that it's Tame B'Toras Vaday. It's Tame B'Toras Suffolk Tumah. Okay, but that's a different story, because the Rambam Shita is that you can't ever have a Suffolk Tumah be Tame b'toras vaday. It has to follow the regular rules of Suffolk Tumah. You know the rules of Suffolk Tumah? Suffolk Tumah b'Shus Rabim is what? And Suffolk, I'm saying Suffolk Tumah b'Shus Yachid, I believe, is Tame, and Suffolk Tumah b'Shus Rabim is Tar, I believe. So it follows the regular rules of Suffolk Tumah. But anyway, the Rambam says that the halacha is that it's Tame b'toras Suffolk. So the kash on the Rambam is that, wait a minute, how are you arguing against Hashem himself? So what's the answer? Pashut. Lo b'shamayim hi. What do you mean, Hashem? You could say whatever you want, right? You're allowed to say anything you want. We don't have to listen, right? Famous Gemara at the end of Perek Hazav, machlokes between Rabbi Lezman Hurkinus and everybody else. Well, it wasn't just Rabbi Shua, but it was everybody. That's why he got put in Cherem, right? So he said, it wasn't really Cherem, it was Nidui. But anyway, machlokes between Rabbi Elazar ben Hurkanus and everybody else, and he brings a raya from, first he brings a raya from the Amar HaMayim. He says, if I'm right, let the river flow backwards, and then he says that you can't bring a raya from the water, and if he says, if I'm right, let the tree uproot itself, and the tree uprooted itself, it ran down the road and stopped somewhere else. He said, you don't bring a raya from a tree. The Marsha says what the symbolism behind all the rayas were. This is a very symbolic rayas of different aspects of Torah. But anyway, and then he says, what about the walls of Beis Medrash? And the walls of Beis Medrash started falling in. So Rabbi Yeshua says, he yells at the walls. He says, what are you getting involved? The Talmid and Chacham are arguing and learning. What's your business? So he said, the walls stopped moving, and they didn't go back out of respect to Rabbi Eliezer, and they didn't come back in. And this is the Vadayan Om didn't like that. They're still staying the same way they were. Finally, he says, all right, enough is enough. He says, tell him I'm right. So he says, Ma'atim im Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Yeshua was very unimpressed. He screams out, Lo b'shamayim hi. So he says, you're not allowed to paskin shailos for us. So he basically says, it's that's not a raya. So what happened? So basically they took all the taurus and they excommunicated Rabbi Eliezer, old mice over there at the end of Perek HaZov in Bamitziah. But anyway, the moral of the story, very halacha l'maisa, we learn about tachanun from there, right? So the Gemara continues, it says, once Rabbi Eliezer was put into Nidui, so he was very sad, he was very depressed. And who was in charge of putting Rabbi Eliezer into Nidui? The Nasi, Rabbi Gamliel. Right? He was the Nasi. And Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Gamliel had a very interesting relationship because they were brothers-in-law. Rabbi Eliezer was married to Rabbi Gamliel's sister. So every single day, Rabbi Eliezer had to daven b'yichidus. So his wife was always mafsik him between Shmon Esrei and Tachanun. What? And then one day, it's a two opinions in the Gemara. One day, either somebody came to the door, an ani came to the door, and she was giving him bread, or she thought it was Rosh Chodesh, and there was no tachanun, right? So she forgot to be masik him, and by the time she realized what was going on, he had already done nefilas apayim, and she grabs him and she says, "What do you want to do? You want to kill my brother or something? Get up!" So, but it was too late. The announcement already went out that the nasi had died. So the Ritva quotes on that Gemara. Says if you so you see from here that there's a big inyan not to be mafsik between Shmon Esrei and Tachanun. Says if you go straight from Shmon Esrei into Tachanun, then your tefillas will be much more effective. And that's how we pass in Shulchan Aruch. Now let it be mafsik during Tachanun. So as Rav Shechter likes to say, so the moral of the story is if you want to kill your brother-in-law, don't talk during Chazaras Hashatz. That because otherwise you're going to be mafsik in between Shmon Esrei and Tachanun. Yeah. Right, that's a good question. I don't know the answer. How come we don't say? Well, there are many rabbanim that try very hard to avoid skipping tachanun, perhaps for that reason. They don't. They apparently either A, their tefillas are so good, you know, that they don't need tachanun to be accepted, or that they don't care if their tefillas are accepted. So, but I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. It's an obvious question, but. But definitely on the days that you're supposed to say Tachanun, which is most of the time, you know, the concept of, you know, no Tachanun if, like, someone you once met had a bris milah once in his life, like, or, you know, like, right, what?
That's the name of the Neitzar, basically every morning, bris in, like, yeshiva. So
right.
Armenian, which is, like, totally different building.
Right, okay. I'm saying there's different shittas about when there is actually bris. I'm talking about if you heard of a bris. Right? Or if you like, there's a book, you know, every famous Rebbe ever had a yahrzeit, you know, so you don't want to say tachanun on a yahrzeit. The concept of not saying a tachanun on a yahrzeit, I have no idea where it would come from. That if I cared, and al pi halacha, you're supposed to fast on a yahrzeit. You're not supposed to, it's a yahrzeit is what? It's not a lit fox, that's the halacha. Saying you want to invent new halachas, be my guest. But if you look in Shulchan Aruch, that's what the Ramah wasn't a lit fox, the Ramah was a pilosher from Crockett, right? And once a maisa that happened, somebody, an old Hasidic guy, was in a shtiebel one time, and not a shtiebel, because it wouldn't make sense if it was in a shtiebel. So it was Leil Pesach. So he said, how come we're not saying Hallel Leil Pesach? So it's machlokis mechaber Rama. Happens to be many Bnei Ashkenaz also say Hallel based on the Gra, based on Reb Chaim Brisker, whatever. But I'm saying, but the standard Pesach in Shulchan Aruch, because the Rama says don't say Hallel in Shul on the Seder night. So this guy was a old Hasidic Jew from Poland. So he he was very upset. How come we're not saying hallel? So one of the guys said to him, he says, where are you from? Right, so he said the whole thing in Yiddish, but he says, I'm from Krakow. So he says, no, the Rama was the chief rabbi of Krakow. He writes in the Shulchan Aruch not to say hallel. So the guy was not a very learned man. He's like, oh, I remember the Rama. Like, when I was in Krakow, I knew the Rama. Like, okay, so, he didn't know what he was talking about. But, like, the Rama also says, the Rama's the one who says the din. He's supposed to fast on a Yahrzeit. All right, so we're much holier than they were. They needed to fast. We don't need to fast. We need to eat. So, okay. You heard Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky has a word on that? Yaakov Kamenetsky's word on the these tikkuns that happen, on the back of shul, where everybody, tikkun, a tikkun. Right, when you have a tikkun for a yard site. So Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky says, what's the pshat? He says, because it used to be that everybody would fast on a yard site, like Sajjan Shulchan Aruch. So he says, then people didn't want to fast. So what do you do when you don't want to fast? Make a siyum. So they would make a siyum in honor of the nifter, and they'd have a shtickle sudas mitzvah in order to get out of the fasting. So he says, but then people didn't want to learn anything anymore. So they just remembered the food part, and they gave up on the Sudas Mitzvah part. They just decided to eat. Okay. No, Bobby, you got to have some kichel with your booze. You have to have kichel. Okay. It's more Hamish. You have to have more Hamish, Okay. Anyway, so I think we're learning Marcus. So anyway, getting back to our sort of topic is the machlokes between the Rambam, who paskins like the Masifta Derekiah, against Hashem. Fine, we get it, Lo Bashamayim. We get it. But what about Rabbi Bar Nachmani? So the Kesef Mishnah says a crazy part. Kesef Mishnah says, since he was already half dead when he gave the psak, meaning, because how else would he have known to say tar? What is he, all of a sudden in the middle of, walking down the street, he has this epiphany, say tar. No, the pshat is he was already half dead. I'm adding into the Kesef Mishnah. You should read it inside. He just says a very bekitzer. He says he was already halfway in Shemayim already, so he had an awareness of the machlokas that was going on in Shemayim, and that which he said tar was really about the machlokas in Shemayim. It had nothing to do with his learning on earth. So that he also is begetter lo b'Shemayim he. So that doesn't count. So that the Rambam didn't consider Rabbah to be a player in this machlokas. He counted as part of the Rabbanu Shalom side in the machlokas, but he didn't count as something going on in this world. Okay, this is I'll just do a tangent of the tangent for a second, as I like to do. The tangent of the tangent for a second for just this week's parsha Shoftim. So we have the discussion of a navi and a navi, and last week's parsha also had a navi sheker. So there's a big discussion of nevuah in this week's parsha, last week's parsha. So the Rambam is very clear in Hilchos Yisodei Torah, and also in the Pirushim Akdam LePirushim Mishnayis. So every Jew should, by the way, read the Rambam's introduction to the Pirushim Mishnayis. It's filled with fundamental ideas of Judaism. As one of my rabbeim once said in Hebrew, he said, "Mish yodea hakdamot haRambam yodea mash yudit tzarich ladat." So he says, this is really the ABCs of Torah Shebaal Peh and Torah Shebaksav to an extent that the Rambam goes through in his introduction to the Pirushim Mishnayis. There's other great introductions also, but the Rambam is the first one that you have to do. So in the Rambam, he outlines at length what the purpose of a Navi is and the contradistinction between the job of the Navi versus the job of the Sanhedrin that we speak about at length in this week's Parsha as well. And one thing you know about a Navi is if he comes down and he says, I had a prophecy that there's a machlokes and the halacha is X or Y, so what do you do? You kill him, right? It's Chayav Misa, it's Pirush Rashi in this week's Parsha. He says, even if he's machaven to the correct halacha, if he says over something that he didn't hear a prophecy about, he's Chayav Misa. And we know that Hashem does not give nevuos about Torah. He doesn't give nevuos about psak halacha. He doesn't give nevuos. He wouldn't even give a nevuah in terms of explaining a difficult pshat in a pasuk, whatever. So that doesn't count as real prophecy. If he says, I got a real nevuah, and in the nevuah, Hashem told me the halacha is like Rav or the halacha is like Abaye, you know he's a false prophet. You got to kill him with chenek. Yeah.
So how do you learn halacha from like the Jews of the Peskel and stuff? When the nevuah is in the Peskel,
That is an excellent question. How in general do we learn halachas from Navi? I will not get into that at all right now. There are a lot of excellent books on the topic. Not full-length books, but... What? The Maritz Chayis in Torah Sanavim has a great... I think the name of the book is Torah Sanavim. There's a two-volume safe set out there called Kol Sifrei Maritz Chayis. Very, very kedai. He has a lot of this stuff about how halachas get derived from Torah Shebichtav to Torah Shebapeh in general, whatever, but this is one of his topics. But I'll just give you a very quick version of the idea. The Gemara in the beginning of Bava Kamma says that we learn out what Karen is. You guys do Bava Kamma ever? Right, so we learn out from Karen from what? From a Pasuk, where? Right, so we bring a pasuk from the Navi, and we say that this is a raya how you define Karen. So the Gemara says, wait a minute, divrei Torah v'divrei Kabbalah lo yafinan. We don't learn from the Navi to paskin shailas d'oraisa. So what does the Gemara answer? It's a gili milsa ba'alma. The halacha already exists from the Torah. The Navi is being megala milsa what it is. So now the same thing, when we learn Dinei Shtaris from Yirmiyahu, we learn about the Sefer Mikneh from Yirmiyahu, same thing, it's a Gili Milsa onto the Dinim of Shtaris that exists Midaraisa. Just we can speak out some of the details based on the Psukim of the Navi. We're assuming the Halachas already existed at the time, meaning there's already Halacha that you're supposed to wear tefillin, right? So what are some of the details of when you are and aren't supposed to wear tefillin? So we bring a raya from Yechezkel that an avel and avelus yom rishon is not supposed to wear tefillin because Yechezkel. Okay. So that's the basic idea. So just in terms of what is this concept lo bashamayim? How does this play out? If a navi comes and tells you that he learned a din d'oraisa from a nevuah, so you got to kill him. Right? And if you have a bas kol that comes out and tells you this is the halacha, we don't listen. So the kasha is, and everybody asks this kasha. Not everybody, but many, Tosos asks the kasha, and the achronim are not so into Tosos' teretz, so they give their own terutzim. So Tosos asks the kasha, he says, wait a minute, how do we know the halacha is like Beis Hillel, not like Beis Shammai? What does Gemara and Shabbos say? Well, I'll tell you. The Gemara and Shabbos says that there was a big bas kol that came out, and said, "Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim, v'alacha kedivrei Beis Hillel." What? A bas kol. The whole reason we paskin like Beis Hillel over Beis Shammai is there was a bas kol. So how could, on one hand, we say that Rabbi Yeshua Shita is lo bashamayim he, and we paskin that way alacha lemaisa ad kedei kach that we would kill a navi if he tried to tell us halacha from Shemayim, and we would know that wasn't a real nevuah. On the other hand, the whole basis for our psak halacha in this world is a bas kol. So Tosus has a teretz. Tosus basically says that really the bas kol didn't determine that we pasken like Beis Hillel. The Gemara really, the reason we pasken like Beis Hillel is why? Because they were the majority. Beis Hillel was the majority. Beis Shammai was the minority. The problem is that Beis Shammai were bigger lamdanim than Ben Beis Hillel. They're mechudod in tfei. They were sharper. They knew how to learn better. So maybe we would think that there's a rule acharei rabim lahatos, but it gets trumped if the guy who's part of the miut is a super lamdan and he knows how to learn better than everybody in the rov. Right? They're all doesn't count if you have the gadol hador versus Joe Schmo Rabbi, so that doesn't count. I'm saying they're all Gedolei Torah, but one is clearly bigger than everybody else. I mean, like today, you have many wonderful, great Talmid Chacham in Eretz Yisrael, but Sof Kol Sof, if Rabbi Yosher says something, that's it. Nobody argues on him. I'm saying that's the way it works in Eretz Yisrael nowadays. I'm not saying that's the way it always has to be, but Lemaisa, Metzias-wise, it's true. Even in this Geirus business, even Rav Avadya Yosef doesn't, if Rav Yashiv Paskin something on the Geirus business, Rav Avadya backs down. So what? It happened like 2 months ago. Rav Avadya was willing to let Shas go in on a certain top. I don't know what any of the Inyanim are. I'm totally not holding. But I read somewhere that Rav Avadya was ready to let Shas go forward with the government's Geirus idea, and Rav Yashiv said not to, and Rav Avadya backed down. Saying, I'm not sure... I'm not sure, maybe it's because he wasn't so sure of himself to begin with, and then when he heard, he didn't agree with him. I don't know anything about like the politics or whatever's going on over there. But Lemaisa, so that's one way. But Lemaisa, that's not the Iker way to be Koveya Halachas in a Sanhedrin and a Beis Din. Really, you go Achari Rab Lahatos, even if the other guy, you consider the other guy to be a bigger Talmud Chacham than you, that's, you know, that you still are not supposed to back down. That's what Tosfos says. So even though Beis Shammai were bigger Talmid Chacham than Beis Hillel, they were sharper in learning. But Sof Kol Sof, Beis Hillel was the Rov, and the Bas Kol was just telling them, go based on the Rov. That's what he says over there. If you look in Rav Nevensal's Sichot on Parshas Noach, he has a different interpretation of this Stira, which is very, very kedai. I'll try to mention it at a later date because it involves also, he goes off on a tangent about the next Mishnah where the Talmidei Chachamim, the mothers of the Kohanim Gedolim used to go cook meals for the, so he brings that in also. So I'll hold off on that till later, but we'll leave that teretz for later. Yeah.
Wouldn't the Baskel coming and telling us that you should ask him like the bigger, like the role that he said, the bigger Talmidei,
no, so in other words, the way Tosfos is learning is, he's just telling you, he's being mechazik you to follow the halacha the way you knew it before. In other words, just don't think that like you're supposed to change the regular halacha, just do what you're supposed to do. The Bas Kol was just coming, and that's really what a Navi is supposed to do also. A Navi is supposed to give you chizuk to keep the Torah that you already know about. Right, the Rambam says basically the Iker job of the Navi is to give people chizuk in Torah mitzvos. You know, because again, it's much easier to have chizuk in Torah mitzvos if you have a direct line to HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling you, this is good, this is bad, what you're doing now wasn't so great, what you're doing now is fantastic, more of that, less of that, you know. So it's, in other words, he's not telling you any new halachos, he's just in communication with HaKadosh Baruch Hu to try to tell you, like, how to keep it up. You know, and the other thing the Rambam says is just to give you stam etzes. Like he gives the prime example was when Shaul HaNavi met Shmuel for the first time. He says that the Navi just knew things, you know, he knew things, he knew where the donkeys were. You know, Kadosh Baruch Hu told them where the donkeys are finished, you know. That's what the Radak says, it's shot in the Pasuk. Velohipi mikol dvorav artsa, that when it says that Shmuel grew up, none of his words fell to the ground. So the Radak says over there, you know, that's what it meant. Whatever Shmuel said came true. Even stuff that wasn't like strictly Nevuah related. He just, you know, Hashem gave him a gift that like, if he said something, you know, worked out well. Tzadik goes over Kadosh Baruch Hu Mekayim, you know. Okay. Anyway, let's continue back on with our discussion. So last but not least, the we mentioned the Marsha quotes those two Gemaras. Just the Aruch Laner here has a drasha to explain the idea of the Malach HaMavis not being sholed over somebody who's learning Torah. So he goes off on a little bit of a side point here. The Aruch Laner quotes the Yalkut Shimoni, where it says that a Kadosh Baruch Hu commanded us to go sit in the sukkah right after Yom Kippur, or a few days after Yom Kippur. Why? Anybody else see that Medrash? Kind of. No, he says that's because maybe over the course of Yom Kippur, our din was handed out on Rosh Hashanah, and it was sealed on Yom Kippur, that we're going to be Chayav Golis for that year. So maybe it'll be a partial kiyum in going to Golis when we go out of our houses and we go into the sukkah. So immediately upon the end of Yom Kippur, we're osik in Yoni Sukkah to try to be Mekayim, you know, in the best possible way, a din of Golos. That's what the Medrash says. So the Aruch Laner says, what's going on with this Medrash? So he explains that, and he explains based on other Midrashim, he quotes the Yalkut on Tehillim, he says that a person who sins is, in other words, what's he doing to himself? He's destroying his Tzelem Elokim. When a person sins, he's like a murderer on himself. He's ki'ilu committing suicide to an extent that he's destroying his Tzelem Elokim. And he brings Raya's from the Medrash, and he says, therefore, he's begeder shofech dam ha'adam ba'adam damo yishafech. He's really chayev misa for killing somebody. That somebody happens to be his spiritual self. Okay. But lemaisa, he's a shtickle chayev misa. Right? So, and therefore, all averos that a person does are pogea in his tzelem elokim, to whatever extent. Right? And therefore, a person, even if he does only smaller averos, is a murderer. Right? Obviously, to be a real murderer, you have to actually kill somebody. But to be a smaller murderer, right? So you can, just doing stam averos is murdering your own tzelem elokim. So he says, okay, so what's the solution? Every little avera I do, it's murder? I say, what's the solution? Do tshuva. So, okay, great. Yeah, you just had the aseres, you made tshuva. the best time ever to do tshuva. So you should have taken care of it, right? So he says, what's the problem? This is a cute chav. He says, what's the problem? That what most people, what type of tshuva do they do? Well, let's say they do all kinds of tshuva, but what's the quality of their tshuva? It's called tshuva meyira, right? Most people do tshuva meyira sa'onish, right? Very few people do tshuva me'ava. So what does the Gemara say? If you do tshuva me'ahava, so then zdonos nasim kimitzvos kizchuyos, right? Then your averos turn into mitzvos. Right? There's a haka nachronim. How does that work? What kind of mitzvos do they turn into? Okay, whatever. But if you do tshuva meyira, what happens to your zdonos? The Gemara says, zdonos nasu kishkogos. So he says that your averos that you did bemezid, so they don't get wiped away. They're ki'il, you did the meshogig. So now, it's motzai yom kippur, you just did a gishmaka tshuva meyira. So what are you now? Now you have all of these averus of shvichas damim b'shogeg. So he says, who's the goal adam on that type of chiyuv galus? The Malach HaMavis is the goal adam on that type of chiyuv galus, right? The Malach HaMavis is in charge of being the goal adam of everyone who's chayev misa for spiritually killing somebody b'shogeg. So the Malach HaMavis is the goal adam. And he brings a raya from the Gemara and Shabbos stuff, and then, hey, whatever, you should definitely read this Aruch Lener inside. It's an example of really, really good drush, you know? So he says the Malach HaMavis is the goal adam on this. So he says, and you can't push off the Malach HaMavis except for Torah. That's the only thing that protects you from the goal adam. That's your ir miklat. The Torah is the ir miklat from the Malach HaMavis. And therefore, where do we learn this? And not therefore, but where do we learn all this from? From the smichas aparshios of Golus, you know, of the goal of hiding out in Golus from the goal adam and the pasuk of Zosat Torah. That's what the Gemara says. We learn out from there that divrei Torah are like the ir miklat that protect you from the Malach HaMavis. See here how he puts two and two together. Ah, it's a drush. It's not, you know, it's not pshat in the Gemara,
right,
but like it's just an example of very good drush. Yeah. Motzei Yom Kippur. So that's why the Shulchan Aruch paskins in two places, right? The Shulchan Aruch at the end of Hilchas Yom Kippur and then the very beginning of Hilchas Sukkah, the first halacha there is right after Yom Kippur is over, you should do something with your Sukkah. You should be misakin a little bit for the Sukkah, kidei latzeis mi mitzvah lemitzvah. You should run from one mitzvah to the next mitzvah, so you should right away try to do something, right? And then the Mishnah Berurah talks about how come it tells you, you know, at the end of Hilchas Yom Kippur, it sounds like you should do one thing, and at the beginning of Hilchas Sukkah, it sounds like you do something else. I think I gave Shira on that last year in the BMP. That was the first year I gave on Yani Sukkah. Was that stira in the Shulchan Aruch a little bit? It's not really a big stira, but the Mishnah Berurah has a taina. I think I had a different shot also. All right, whatever. Anyway, but it says right away you should go do some in Yani Sukkah. So you should go mi mitzvah le mitzvah. But according to this Aruch Laner, it's not just stam mi mitzvah le mitzvah. It's also that you should be osek in sort of quote unquote going to Golus already, so you can be mekayim the running away from the Gol Adam. Okay, good. Let's learn a little Gemara. A little bit. So, do we have any time for Gemara? What time is it now? 35? Oh, 20. Oh, we have time. What time are you guys be at setup? 40? All right, we're great. Okay, so we had the kasha last time, or two times ago. We had the following kasha. We said, how come the Ritva and the Rashi have a totally different machlokas, have a totally different definition of das when it comes to entering the ir miklat, right? We said, number one, according to Rashi, what's the definition of entering the ir miklat shalola das? Right. So in other words, he's saying if you went in there knowing full well what you were doing, but you didn't know that you were being protected, that's called shalola das. So if you're going into one of the 6 Ari Miklat, good, you're protected. And if you're going into one of the 42 Ari Levim, you're not protected. That's the difference between Ari Levim and Ari Miklat. The Ritva says, no, even if you were sleeping, you were schluffing in the back of the car. The car drove into the Ari Miklat. Now you're in the Ari Miklat, you are protected. Right? You're protected from the Gol Adam, and you don't need, you know, you're good to go, unless you're in one of the 42 Ari Levim, then you are not protected if you went in there shalol adas. Okay. So now the question, so the question is twofold. First of all, what's the nekudas hamachlokes? What are they arguing about? And second of all, what's the difference between the Arei Miklat, where we say that you don't need das, and the Arei Levim, where you do need das? And would there be a parallel machlokes, Rashi and the Ritva, by the Arei Levim? What do I mean by that? Maybe, according to Rashi, you would only need to go in. What would you need to have das for if you go into the Arei Levim? What? That you wanted to protect you, right? You need to have kavana and das that the Arei Miklat is going to be calling you. Okay. And according to the Ritva, what would you need das for? You just need das that you're going in there, right? So I'm going to argue that that's not true. That it's not exactly a parallel machlokas between Rashi and the Ritva when it comes to the Arei Levim. It's a different, they both kind of hold the same thing. But at least over here in the regular Arei Miklat, we got to figure out what is the machlokas. What is the machlokas? So in terms of Rashi, we pointed out last time, I think, the Minchas Chinuch and Mitzvah Tav Kuf Chaf, Os Beis, says that one major nafkamina, according to Rashi, besides the obvious one, is, let's say you went into the city, Shelo L'Shem Klita, right? So what does the Minchas Chinuch say you have to do? You have to reset, right? You have to hit the restart button. You have to go outside the Arei Miklat and come back in. By the Arei Levim, sorry. You have to go outside the city and then come back in. It's not enough to just, you know, stay where you are, knowing full well. Apparently, there has to be an entering into the city with das that you are going to be protected by the Arei Miklat. That applies both in the Arei Miklat and in the Arei Levim. In the Arei Miklat, where Rashi says you have to have das that you're entering it stam. So let's say you were sleeping when you came in. So then you would have to go out and come in, but kavana stam that you're coming in. Right? According to Rashi, if you were sleeping in the back of the car and you drove into the Arei Miklat, are you good? No, you need das that you're entering. So according to Rashi, even in the Arei Miklat, if you were inside the Arei Miklat having come in, sleeping on a bus, you're not protected. Again, are you protected if you came into the Arei Miklat sleeping on a bus? You're not protected. So Minchas Chinuch says, perhaps you have to go back out and come back in, at least Ladas entering the city. Right? That's Pasha like that. Okay. So you have to have Das that you're entering the city. Now, according to the Ritva, as long as you got in there, it doesn't matter. As long as you came in, even if you were sleeping when you came in, and you were in the back of the bus sleeping, doesn't matter. You are protected by the Arei Miklat. Okay. So that's the first, you know, one nafkamina besides the basic nafkamina. We had a couple of other nafkaminas as well. But before we get into discussing the other nafkaminas, so I just wanted to explain that earlier on, we pointed out a number of possibilities in what the purpose of the Arei Miklat is. Right? What were the basic possibilities that were in the definition of the Arei Miklat? What? Right. So the basic hakira we had was kapara. Right? It's a din kapara. And what was the other basic possibility? Onish. Maybe it's an onish. It's like going to jail. Right? Going to jail is not a kapara. Going to jail is an onish. Right? So that was the basic hakir. Then we were investigating further. We came across a third possibility, which is it's a din hatsala. Right? It's not an onish. It's not a kapara. It's just this guy's going to kill you if you don't go in there. So you have to be saved. So three basic possibilities for what the goal of the Arei Miklat is. Either to serve as a kapara, right? We know that gullus constitutes a kapara, or to serve as an onish, go to jail, or to save you from the gol adam, strictly hatsolus nefashus. So that was basically, and we spoke out a lot of nafkamina if you kill a ger toshav, bishogeg, what do we have, that was machlogis ramam ravid, we had a whole long discussion of all the nafkaminas that we could think of at the time that were coming up in our Gemara. But perhaps here is an additional nafkamina. How so? Maybe the machlokis between Rashi and the Ritva is similar to we had a machlokis between Rashi and the Ramban earlier on. Meaning the Ramban we saw in Daf Tesam and Aleph, the Yerushalmi Chassid Tanya had a very strange line over there. Because the Ramban was discussing a ger toshav that kills b'shogig, right? So we said that really a goy, the Ramban wanted to say a goy that kills b'shogig is no way he's going to be chayav misa. That was the machlokas Rashi and the Ramban. By Rashi had a whole din that if you kill, if a goy kills b'shogig, he's chayav misa. And the Ramban said there's no way that that's true. We had a lot of difficulty explaining that Ramban according to the standard pshat. He said the standard shot was, what's the definition of the ma'isa dan b'shogeg? Is it a ma'isa ritzicha versus a ma'isa? Remember that? Back in the day? So we, what? Right, this was before the chart already. Then, so I wanted to tie in it differently than that whole discussion. Rather, it was a definition of what is hasra coming to accomplish, right? What's hasra coming to accomplish? If the hasra is just lahavchin ben shogeg lemezid, and then the halach is you're not nita ma'asra, so then the pashas that Rashi is learning is, you're chayav misa even if you did the ma'isa b'shogeg. So that was that. But Agav, the Ramban, had that one crazy line, right? Agav, the Ramban said, you can't give a goy misa for killing another goy b'shogeg. We kill a ger tosha for killing Yisrael b'shogeg. That's different. Because even by Yisrael, he's really also chayav misa through the Gol Adam. But he doesn't get the misa because he runs away to the Amikla. Great. So we said, what do you see from there? The Ramban seems to be learning that, of course, there's an onish, but the onish is not the irmiklat. The onish is the misa of the Gol Adam. So what's the irmiklat accomplishing? It's accomplishing Hatzalah. So maybe that's also the pshat in this Ritva. So first of all, how do I know that? So like in general, it happens to be the Ramban. The Ramban was the grand Rebbe of the Ritva. The Ritva was a Talmud of both the Rashba and the Ra'ah, who were both Tamidim of the Ritva. Okay, so that's not really how you decide things in learning, is who was whose Rebbe and who was whose Talmud, but it usually works out that way anyway. But nonetheless, I showed you, if you looked in the Maamar Kolmos today, there was a diuk in the Ritva on Daf Beis, where the Ritva seems to say the same thing. You guys got a chance to see that inside? Right, what was the Lashon? Anybody have the Lashon of the Ritva in front of them? Take a look at it. So the Ritva on Daf Beis, he asked the same kasha as Tosfos. I didn't feel guilty giving you that long Ritva because most of it was the Tosfos that we already did on Daf Beis. And then he says, Yesh lomar she'eno gol al pi atzmo she'arei yesh bedavar chiyuv misa im yotzo chutz l'tchum shehargu gol adam. Oh. So he says, maybe over here we're not going to believe them if they say we killed somebody b'shogeg. Why? Because they're being mechayev themselves misa through their own admission. So you're not allowed to give an admission which is going to be mechayev you misa. Right? Because you're not allowed to give yourself an onesh. You can't be ma'anish yourself based on your own statement in court. And thus, what do you see the Ritva saying? Similar vort to the Ramban. That it's not that the golus to the Yermiklat is the onesh, and it's not that the golus to the Yermiklat is the kapara, it's that there's a chiyuv misa. There's a chiyuv misa that happens based on your killing the shogeg, and therefore we could say that going to the Yermiklat is what? Going to the Yermiklat is hatzalah from the onesh of the Gol Adam. So if you say that, that going to Golis is only a Hatzala from the Misa of the Gol Adam. Right, what do you need Das for that Hatzala? Why do I need Das for that Hatzala? Saying like if I'm in a protective area and I just moseyed on into there accidentally, why should I have to have Das? Saying it's good enough, right? So if you say that that's the pshat in the Ritva, so you understand very well why you could be nichlis into the Yermiklat Shalol Adas. And Shalol Adas means mamish Shalol Adas. Right? Whereas, according to Rashi, you have to argue, and we had other reasons why we thought Rashi said that anyway, you have to argue that Rashi Shita is that Gullus either constitutes an onesh or a kapara of some sort. So if it's an onesh or a kapara, so then you at least need to know that you're there. It can't have any kind of onesh or any kind of kapara if you don't know you're in it. If you went to sleep in your bed, somebody picked you up out of your bed, put you in the back of a truck, drove you to near miklat, then you wake up, you don't even know where you are. So what, you're going to be protected from the Gol Adam? Why? You're not accomplishing any goals that you're supposed to accomplish in being in Golis. You don't even know you're there. The Mela, if you know you're there and you're like, oh, I got to be here now, not thinking that the reason you're here is that you're being protected. So the Mela, you could argue that that still constitutes some type of a kapor or some type of an onish. Right? But sof kol sof, you got to know that you're there. If you don't even know where you are, you're not getting any... What? No, even for Hatzalah, you don't need to know that you're there. But for it to accomplish some type of a gullus or, you know, for some type of a kapara or some type of an onish, it's very hard to argue that you don't even need to know where you are. Right? So that's the ikur machlokas between Rashi and the Ritva is to what constitutes das when it comes to entering an ir miklat. Yeah? Oh, so now we got to go to step two. Before we go to step two, let me just give one disclaimer. I was thinking today that this pshat might not be the only way to learn. I mean, it's definitely not the only way to learn, but it might not even be the best way to learn because maybe you could just argue differently. Maybe you could say that really Rashi and the Ritva are not arguing as to what the nature of the entering into what the nature of going to Golis is, whether it's Kapora slash Onesh on one hand or whether it's Hatzalah on the other hand. Maybe you could argue that really, they're arguing what is the Iker Kapora slash Onish. Is the Iker Kapora slash Onish, meaning when you go to jail. So what's the Iker Kapora of jail slash Onish of jail? Is when they slam that door on you for the first time and you know you're not getting out of here for 40 years? Or is it the day in, day out life in jail that you know you can't leave? Right? Maybe Rashi Shita is, it's when they slam that door for the first time, that's the Iker Kapora slash Onish, because that's when you realize, oh man, I'm in jail. You know? And the Ritva could say, who cares about that? You've been in jail for 5 seconds. You don't even know what it means. Oh my gosh, I'm in jail. Now, when you've been there for 20 years and you can't leave because if you walk out, somebody's going to shoot you, that's an Onish. That's a Kapora. Right? So maybe you could argue there that that's the Ikar Machlokes between Rashi and the Ritva, is what constitutes the definition of the onesh and the kapar. Is it the actual hachnasa into the ir miklat, or is it staying in the ir miklat and not being allowed to get out? Maybe that's the machlokas. The reason I'm still leaning towards the first mahalach is that the Ritva on Daf Beis doesn't mention the ir miklat being any type of onesh at all. Right? In other words, he says dafka, you can't go to Golis on your own admission because you can't be mechayev yourself something on your own admission. And what are you being mechayev yourself? Misa from the Gol Adam. He could just as easily have said, what are you being mechayev yourself? Golis. He doesn't say you're being mechayev yourself Golis. He says you're being mechayev yourself Misa. Right? Seems from there that he holds that the whole focus of going to Golis is the Hatzalah aspect. And even if you want to argue that this is not the Iker Lumdus in the Ritva, you could certainly say that that's what the Marsha holds, right? The Marsha, as we're not going to get a chance to go through it now because I think our time is up, but the Marsha is clear on Daf Yudamid Beis that the only function that Golis serves according to him is Hatzalah from the Gol Adam. So even if the Ritva doesn't say it, but Mestama, the Marsha is not going out on a limb completely, right? He probably thinks that Rishonim say it. I would have to imagine that the Marsha is not just introducing a brand new concept that no Rishon holds of, although, as you'll see, the Aruch Lener goes crazy at him, and I don't think the Or Sameach mentions the Marsha by name, but he definitely disagrees with him. Right, I'm saying that the Or Sameach is very clear in trying to show how. Do you guys get a chance to do that Or Sameach inside? Okay, so I believe that Emir Toshem, next time on Sunday, try to go through that Or Sameach very carefully. Try to show his rayas, and we'll see the rayas from the Gemara also. Although we're very familiar with all the rayas from the Gemara, that going to Golis definitely constitutes some sort of kapara. So we'll have to figure that out according to the Marsha and maybe according to the Ritva as well. So basically, our goal for next time is to further analyze this machlokas Rishonim in terms of if the explanation is the way I say it is, then how does that play out in going to one of the 42 Arei Leviim? And number two, try to figure out, let's try to put this basic machlokas to bed about what the nature of gullus is. Is it one of the big three? Is it all three? Is it only one of the, two of the three? We'll have to figure that out a little bit better. In the words of Yachron. Okay, everybody have a good day.